The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Joining We the People Talk Radio. I'm Elizabeth Woodward with my co-host Aaron Ryan.
Hello.
We have our sound engineer Bob Martin. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, ladies.
Hey, folks. Really glad you're tuning in. Join our chat room. We're streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us or give us a call at 530-605-4567. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we talk about all things having to do with responsible government. So under that heading or that umbrella, we include fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution as created by our founders. Yes, we are.
We're big fans. Not to be confused online, too, with the president's latest effort to turn people into rat finks.
My husband
played for me the video of Attack Watch.
I watched it, too. And, you know, the thing is that Attack Watch website set up by the White House, in case anybody doesn't absolutely adore our president, people are making fun of it. I mean, it's turned into a huge joke.
Yeah, but who puts together, in a country like this, where last time I checked we had freedom of speech, you put together a website so people can rat on each other.
For having freedom of speech.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like, okay, are we in second grade? I mean, really?
We are in second grade.
Give me a break.
And it doesn't matter who you like or you don't like. Really?
Are
we going to tell on each other?
Did this administration not play well on the playground?
Apparently they didn't ever go to the playground. They didn't go through that phase.
No, you know, team sports with these folks.
I think they took other kids' lunch money on the playground.
Yeah, I think
could
so,
be.
Too.
That could be.
I think they probably, I don't know. They just,
yeah.
That's so, I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, to talk about, you know, in big families, you know. You grow up in a big family, you never telegraph your weakness. That's just where they're going to hammer you. I've worked with a lady once. I'm afraid of bugs.
Really? So you filled her drawer full of bugs, didn't you?
I filled her room full of bugs. Are you kidding? That was my mission in life. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, don't show your weakness. Hey, so before we join our guest, we've got John from the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. Hate acronyms. I'm so bad with them. They just don't roll off
my tongue. I live in the land of acronyms.
I know you do.
I'm getting better at it.
We're going to be talking about small business and how all the state and federal policies are pretty much squeezing them out. Really looking forward to this show. But before we go there, I just wanted to do a little shout out on a couple of things that have happened locally, but they do apply everywhere. Number one, a very good friend of ours, our friend Ann, our friend Patriot Ann,
yes,
locally, has a nice piece of property, and 6 months after she and her husband
inside
the city of Reading, yeah. 6 months after she and her husband closed escrow on the house, they were informed that there was, I believe, a ditch running through their property.
Well, they 6 months after they closed escrow, they put an easement. There was an easement overlaid on their title in the back of their property, on the back quarter acre, because of this, this drainage ditch or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was after their property was all signed, sealed, and delivered.
Exactly.
And then somehow this weird, this other easement was recorded over their deed. And that gave them the authority to control what kind of vegetation they plant back there.
So the Army Corps of Engineers, whom they've been fighting for months and months and months, and I believe it's probably 2 or 3 years now, literally forced them to strip all of their fruit trees, their decorative trees, some of their foliage.
I will bring up the list on my computer because it's egregious.
They literally had to go onto their own property. And this is just in a normal neighborhood, folks. They had to go out of the back of their own property and strip everything that they had planted, forced by the Army Corps of Engineers because of...
I thought they cut it down.
They may have. They may have. They may have been the ones that actually came in.
I think they showed up with the chainsaws and cut it down. I'm going to get a hold of Ann on the break. We'll get more for you on this.
Yeah.
Because this was ridiculous.
And then we also, you know, because we deal a lot with private property issues on this show, because in the end, if you have no private property, you have no freedom. So that's a big deal. And we've talked many times with Mr. Fred Kelly Grant. We've talked about the efforts between federal and state agencies dealing with your local governments and what they're doing with the land. And we're specifically going to be dealing with some forest road issues in the near future. So if you are local, I really encourage you to go to the Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday morning and then go to the City Council meeting for Reading this Tuesday evening, because there will be a presentation by a very special committee that is now going to be hopefully working with the Forest Service, and we need the support on both of those meetings. So,
yeah, keep your eyeballs open, because there's another one up in Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
And get you on. Bob, kind of loud over there, buddy.
We can hear our sound engineer.
You know, we're like, trying to pretend.
Sorry, your sound engineer forgot to kill his microphone first.
Oh, for heaven's sake, some sound engineers,
It is Sunday
morning.
You're
going to watch them every minute. Not that we know what they're doing over there, but have to watch them every minute anyway. I know that one of these Forest Service meetings is happening up there in Fall River this week, too.
Yeah.
So,
because there's a thing called coordination.
Keep your eyeballs open, folks.
The federal and state agencies are required by law to coordinate with your local governments if they're going to do anything to any public land that will affect the economy of that local community. And for years and years and years.
The consistent use of that property.
And for years and years and years, the agencies have been pretty much doing what they wanted, because the citizens did not know that they had anything, you know, in the laws and regulations that allowed them to be brought into the process. So those meetings are kind of important. So I encourage everybody to go.
There's a lot of that stuff happening. I sat in on a meeting with Sheriff Lopey up there in Siskiyou County this week on Tuesday with Noah. And, who'd we have? We had Noah, and we had Department of Fish and Game. And a lot of those guys cross over into the National Marine Fisheries and the Department of Commerce and all that stuff. And they were basically summoned there because it looks like the federal government has stepped around the state government to try to, investigate, prosecute. They won't really say what they're doing exactly. But a rancher up there in the Scott Valley for fish kill on the coho salmon. Now, these are like, you know, little goldfish-sized fish, and they wouldn't say how many, so I don't know if there were 3 or 300. But the water at this time of year gets pretty low. I don't care what you do, whether you irrigate or not. And they're alleging that it's the irrigator's fault every single time that there's a fish that dies up there. But at the same time, you can find coho salmon at Costco.
Yeah, so if you think they're in danger, just go to Costco.
Frustrating, kind of ridiculous.
See, I had this image in my mind of the fish and game personnel with their bulletproof vests and their artillery strapped to their waist, standing guarding the coho salmon, the freezer section at Costco. What do you think?
I think we need a picture.
I think so,
and
too.
I did meet with another guy from Fish and Game this week, and actually he was really nice and shed some insight on some of it. So we'll be following up on all of that. It's going to be illuminating.
So let's
circle back to the Army Corps of Engineers before we go, because
we got to hear the list.
I got the email from Ann here. It says, "Hello, friends. I feel this is something you should know about. Because of orders by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, we have had to remove from our property this morning the following. 2 liquid amber trees, approximately 20 feet tall. 1 redwood tree, approximately 15 feet tall. 3 peach trees, 1 apricot tree, 2 plum trees, 1 birch tree, 1 fruitless mulberry, 1 Chinese pistache tree. I don't know if it's pistachio tree. It's, and 4... some kind of shrubs. And this was required by the Army Corps.
Photinia.
Oh, Photinia. I'm obviously a botanist in my free time. I don't even try to pretend I play one. This was required by the Army Corps because we have a drainage ditch running through part of our property, and the plantings were not native species. These trees and shrubs were spread over 1/4 acre. This information was not divulged to us until 6 months after we moved into our home, and we've been fighting this battle for almost 4 years and have run out of steam and money for the fight. We warn you against ever trying to deal with any of the out-of-control federal or state agencies.
So imagine you're sitting here on a Sunday morning reading the paper, listening to our show, drinking your coffee, and you look out onto your backyard, and maybe you have half an acre, maybe you have less than half an acre, and all of those trees that were just mentioned are pretty common in this area. A lot of people plant those. So imagine you're looking out onto your backyard, and the Army Corps of Engineers is out there with their bulldozers and whatever else it takes to rip up your backyard and take all those plants out. Just imagine that.
It's not pretty. And they live in a subdivision in Redding.
Yeah.
So if you think that this only happens, you know, out in the country, and, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the Scott Valley and places like that, but just flat out.
That's the point we've been trying to make.
Exactly.
It comes to everybody eventually.
All right, we're taking an early break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to you about what's happening in the land of small business here in the state of California, and I'm sure nationwide also. So you're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. You're still listening to it.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies, tell me lies. Oh, no, no, you can't disguise. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies.
No. Our government would never tell us lies. You can trust them. You can count on them.
And if they do tell you a lie, it's because someone else did it. Go to Attack Watch.
Yeah.
and think on your neighbor. Good morning. You are joining We the People Radio. It's Sunday morning, and we're a little squirrely here this morning, so we hope that you tune in and have fun.
No.
Go to our
chat
room. We're streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us or give us a call at 530-605-4567. Do want to mention that if you do go to the webpage, you will have all the information about today's speaker. All our previous shows are archived, and anything and everything you ever wanted to know, including our sponsors, all right there for you.
WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Us. So, finally, we are going to bring John in. John Kabatek from the National Federation of Independent Business. So we all know that regulations, both state and federal, are starting to strangle the life out of the 70% of job creators in America. So John has graciously agreed to join us this morning and fill us in on what's happening with small business and what the NFIB does to help out. Good morning, John. Thanks for hanging on.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
And thank you for putting up with our many confirmation phone calls.
No, my pleasure. And I love that song, Tell Me Lies.
I know. Isn't that great? Isn't that
what
great?
What a shocker. I think we have a legislature and legislature full of Pinocchios.
Yeah. Hey, there's an image. I love that.
Yeah, that's...
There's 15 good ones in the Senate, though. I can vouch for one.
Yes.
That's true.
I'm not vouching for the rest. And I know we have a good guy in the assembly, but talk about outgunned.
Yeah, you're well served up there. You know, Senator LaMalfa and Assemblyman Nielsen have done a terrific job fighting for Main Street. So, and Congressman Herger, so in good hands.
So, John, give us a little background on yourself and where you fit in with the NFIB and what the NFIB does.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Thank
and for
you.
What you're doing out there. Yes, the National Federation of Independent Business, we are actually a California-born organization. We are the nation's and the state's leading and largest organization that serves only Main Street, only mom-and-pop small businesses throughout the nation. And it's California-born. Basically, 68 years ago, a small business owner, not unlike today, was very frustrated with government, was very frustrated that he didn't feel like anybody was fighting for him at the state or the federal level. Typical entrepreneur, created a little club, small organization with friends and neighbors. 68 years later, we are the nation's and the state's largest and leading organization serving only small business owners, only the leading job creators in our nation. And we're very proud with what we do every day.
Now, do you lobby?
We absolutely do.
Okay.
And we lobby at the state and federal level, because I think when our founder looked ahead, he really didn't feel that there was anybody doing that. And so we are in every state capital, including here in Sacramento, and certainly in Washington, D.C., holding these people accountable. And more than ever, they need to be held accountable. We represent about 20,000 small businesses here in California, about 350,000 across the nation. Like we, the people, we're nonpartisan, you know. Small businesses are of every stripe, every party, and they're just frustrated. They're frustrated that government is doing nothing to help.
Now, how are you funded?
Really, it's done the old-fashioned way. You know, we primarily are supported by the dues of our membership. And, you know, we ask our members what they're able to invest, and we do not we have a max in terms of what our member can actually pay, so that nobody is actually able to buy access within the organization. Every small business owner has that ability to be heard. So it's through our members, and that's why it's so important also that we just have that bigger voice. We're winning a lot of battles, but I will tell you, the bigger our voice becomes here in California and nationally, the more we will continue to make sure small businesses and jobs win. And we really need that today.
Well, we had the 30 job-killing bills in I know, the California State Legislature. That was put up by the Chamber of Commerce, I think. So I wondered, how did things shake out from your perspective? We didn't do any homework on this end, so so we're counting on you.
Yeah, you have 2 hours, John.
Yeah, you got plenty of time there, John.
So, yeah, no problem.
I know there were a ton of them. We didn't go back to, we didn't circle back around to see how many of them, you know, passed. We know all the gun bills went through and are sitting on the governor's desk, but ridiculous.
You know, we actually, believe it or not, even in a state like California, we actually realized some good successes this session. Small business did, and I think that is indicative of the fact that small business owners and, frankly, taxpayers are so fed up that they are being heard and they're getting their voice out there. Our mission statement is pretty clear here at NFIB, which is to protect and promote the right of small business owners, of our members, to own, operate, and grow their businesses. And this last session, just here in California alone, we got heard. We got people to light up the lines, send emails, call their legislators, make sure that their stories were told. And we had some successes. And just a couple examples, I mean, we actually fought very hard. NFIB was the only organization in California statewide to oppose taxes, both about 2 years ago when the governor and legislature tried to advance sales, income, and car taxes. We were the only statewide business group to oppose them then. And this last session, we were the only organization to oppose taxes in this last budget, and we won. We actually made sure we balloted our members, which is how we do everything, and 96% of our small business members said no new taxes, and 87% said they don't even want to put it on the ballot. So that was a big win. I think we certainly know that legislators don't, they've never found a tax or a fee or a levy that they didn't like, but we were heard, and that was a pretty big win for small businesses and money back in their pockets and in working families' pockets.
That's nice, because one of the big things was putting that on the ballot, the tax increases on the ballot. I know the La Malfa office took a lot of calls and a lot of grief over that one. And I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe the word wasn't out there that it was going to cost $90 million to have people vote yet again to say that they didn't want to raise taxes. Why did you guys oppose it? Just in principle, or?
You know, when we talk to the average auto shop owner and person who owns a bakery, person who has a dry cleaner, they tell us the same thing. We hear it time and again. We're just tired. We're tired of being beaten down by costs. And you mentioned regulations, which I'm happy to talk about, by costs, regulations, taxes, lawsuit abuse, all of these things are making it impossible for them. And I think if anything, what I respect about your organization and your show is, I think there's a similar tenor here, which we hear amongst small business, which is, government, please get out of the way. Let us be successful. Let us be entrepreneurs. And that is how America and California will grow.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, well, I see this like with land use issues. You know, you have people who have been working areas of land for sometimes well over 100 years. Some of those water rights go back into the mid-1800s. So these people have been growing cattle or growing crop or whatever, whether they're a rancher or a farmer, but they've been utilizing the land in a multi-generational way. And all of a sudden, these agencies swarm in like locusts, and they're going to save everything. And you think, wait a second, if you were going to save everything, how come it's still there after all that time? Wouldn't they have used it all up or ruined it all or what? I just think it's really, I don't know, gutsy, I guess, for them to come forward and, well, we're going to tell you, like, how to run your business.
And your life.
Yeah, but it was small business, and especially, I mean, I hope we get into this whole CARB thing and all that stuff. They're going to come in and tell business owners how to operate, and most of these people have never run a business.
That is so very true. I mean, one thing people need to remember is small businesses are the number one job creators, and our elected officials all too often forget that. 99.7% of all businesses are small businesses, and it's small businesses that create two-thirds of all net new jobs and are the ones to get us out of tough times. But more often than not, it is small businesses that feel the lion's share of the tax burden and the lion's share of major, you get the short end of the stick. And for being the big kahuna, they get the short end of the stick. You know, they pay 18% more than larger businesses for health insurance, and small businesses pay about 37% more than larger businesses to comply with regulations. So we have many elected officials who are just out of touch, who have not walked the talk. And I think we have a window here with redistricting, with open primaries, I think with the climate of just an angry mob out there, to really get more people in there who get it, who've walked the talk.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, in the past, it's true. If somebody was running for office that it didn't have huge name recognition and didn't have a ton of experience in government, they didn't have a prayer's chance. And now it's kind of like,
if you have a big name, it's almost working against you.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I'm just a regular guy. People are like, good, I'll vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got about a minute here. Talk to folks about how people join your organization.
Sure. Well, we really do it the old-fashioned way as well, and it's really worked because I think it's a chance to make sure we're listening to Main Street literally. We have a terrific set of representatives throughout the state and throughout the nation who cover territory. We got a great guy up there in Redding in the Shasta community, a guy named Rich Young.
He's sitting right next to me.
Rich is with you. Well,
we have him captive in our studio at the moment.
He's reading. Awesome. He's reading his BlackBerry.
Well, Rich does an awesome job, and then he's one of about 30 throughout California. And throughout the nation, we've got hundreds throughout the nation, and they knock on doors. And they really work hard every single day to go talk to small business owners, find out what's on their minds, find out what's concerning them, and let them understand and realize, you know, NFIB is the one organization out there that's fighting for Main Street, and how they can't not be involved, because we are really making sure that we need that voice heard. We call ourselves the voice of small business. That's our mantra. And I think Rich would tell you that the more we grow that voice, the more we will continue to make sure, you know, job creators are winning the battles, because we're up against some tough, you know, some tough opponents, I will say.
I would encourage people to go to wethepeopleradio.us, and on there you will see a video of John that we're speaking to, and a little bit of his bio, and a nice overview of the NFIB, and also some connected links where you can go get some more information, their newsroom, and also their main website here in California. So that would be nfib.com/CA. And you can get all smart there while we take 2 minutes to refill our coffee and take a breath. We'll be right back with you here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
the conversation in our chat room.
KCNR1460.com.
Don't tell me what to do. You've already said we are through. How many pages that you have turned? I'm no longer your concern. So don't tell me what to do.
Another great selection by Bob Martin, the sound engineer. Don't Tell Me What to Do by Pam Tillis. Aaron and I have both decided that we're fighting over the rights to have that as our personal theme song.
Welcome. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't fit us both.
Oh, yeah, it totally does. Hey, welcome back to We the People Radio. We are talking to John Kabatek from National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. You want to check out a little bit more about them? Go to nfib.com/CA. They're also on our webpage at wethepeopleradio.us. Now, John, just bringing in, bringing the show back in or your topic back in, kind of give us a little heads up on what you foresee in the near future with AB 32 and how it's going to affect small business.
Well, you know, NFIB, for your listeners who don't understand AB 32, you know, this was what Governor Schwarzenegger and the legislature approved years ago, and specifically would require basically every single small business owner and taxpayer to reduce their energy levels to what they were in 1990 by the year 2020. And we've estimated that to be about a 60 to 66% tax increase, energy tax increase on all Californians. And the question we keep asking is this the time to be raising new taxes and new costs when small businesses are struggling, when families are struggling, just to keep their lights on, literally? So we're very concerned about that. We led an effort to actually suspend AB 32, spearheaded by, you know, we had a number of folks helping there to suspend it until unemployment dropped to 5%, which may sound unachievable, but at the same time, we make sure that, look, let's not create and dig a hole any deeper in any way, ever, but especially when unemployment is hurting. So what we see right now is we are actually, you know, making sure that small business owners are getting out there and heard. As I say, one thing that we are doing at NFIB is making sure that we are literally putting small business owners at the table on the Air Resources Board. We are sponsoring a bill this session that's actually made it to the governor's desk. It's gotten out of both houses of the legislature, and for the first time would require that the Air Board, the California Air Resources Board, have a small business owner at the table and make sure that small business is heard. So while we can't predict what happens with AB 32 and the energy cost concerns, making sure that our voice is heard, both at sitting at the table at the Air Board, but also through people like Rich Young up there who are helping to grow our voice, the more we can actually make sure that things are done right for small business.
Nice.
Now, what's the average demographic of one of your members?
You know, our members are pretty indicative of the average small business owner out there. We represent, as I said, in California, close to 20,000 small business owners, and they really are the average mom and pop that you see there in your town of Redding or Shasta County or anywhere. About average small business owner, we represent about 5 to 7 employees. Maybe has somewhere in the area of about $350,000 in gross annual revenue, but that number's decreased over time. I think what we really find is a cross section: service industry, wholesale, retail, agriculture. We learned that just last year we did a study of our organization, and we learned that 1 out of every 11 farmers in California is a member of NFIB.
Well, that's nice.
So, and I know that's a big deal for you all up your way. So we really represent the quintessential Main Street, and we just want to make sure that we're making that voice bigger and heard. And I'll say that the frustrating part from our members is that they keep hearing from so many politicians out there, like there's a perception that the people work for them. And we need to make sure we take back the Capitol. We make sure we take back Main Street and make sure people understand they're working for us. They're on our clock. So that's what NFIB does, and that's what we're fighting every day.
Now, I'm looking at a list of bills that have either circulated through the legislature, they've passed, they've died in committee. Rich just handed me this, and I just want to give people an idea of some of the insanity out there, insanity that's sitting in the state capitol. Here's one, SB 568. This measure bans styrofoam in California food service. Are you kidding me?
Gosh, that'll make the cost of everything go down.
I mean, God. What are we going to do with our doggy bags?
I guess they're really going to be doggy bags.
I mean, we can't cut trees, so you can't use paper bags. They're trying to ban plastic bags. Can't use styrofoam. Now, apparently that bill is not moving, which is probably a good thing. And correct me if I'm mistaken, John, but I heard somewhere that in January of 2012, a bill passed the state legislature that mandates that anyone that enters the food service industry, anyone, has to take a state test. Is that correct, or did I hear a rumor? Or do you know?
I can't be sure of that one.
Okay.
I know that, and actually before I'd been here at NFIB, a previous job years back was actually representing small business and business at the California Restaurant Association. I know that there is a ServSafe or a food safety certification that is the law and has been for years. But
okay.
I will tell you, Liz, I wouldn't be surprised. I think that California government has become such nanny government, and even ironically, there's even a bill that would unionize babysitters. So they're literally making nanny government as literal as they possibly can.
Yeah, I love the babysitter bill. That was fantastic. Like, gosh, you know, after what, 2 hours, you have to run home and give your babysitter a 20-minute break and pay them vacation pay, and it's like, wow, really, guys? They're into everything, absolutely everything. We've got the people who deal with like in-home care and all that. They're coming back to review the bills that were after them. One of them was the babysitter bill, but this nutty stuff. Go back to this energy business and Prop 23 that was on the November 2010 ballot would have rolled back this AB 32. And yet people didn't vote for it. Did they just not get it? Was it the description? I mean, what do you think? What did you see from your perch there?
Well, you know, I think perception is everything, and I think that you know, the opposition clearly, the governor clearly put all the eggs in this one basket and was able to solicit the resources of, you know, former Secretary of State Schultz, whom we have a lot of respect for, but other notable folks, you know, I guess James Cameron, you know, producer James Cameron and others came in to kind of weigh in. So, but I think that the message that we wanted to be sure was getting out there was that this was a significant energy tax increase. And, you know, I think that's one thing that we need to keep making sure people understand. You know, I think in this last Prop 23 debate, you have certain special interests that come in, they try to paint a picture, and really at the end of the day, the thing that we need to make sure people know, and know back then even, is this is a cost increase and a tax increase, and we need to make sure that we're getting every person heard. So, you know, we can look 50-50 hindsight, but I would say that, you know, the message that we probably needed to get out more and continue to need to get out is that small businesses that are dying on the vine, 2.2 million Californians out of work, the last thing that struggling families and Californians need are new costs. And that's what something like AB 32 will absolutely do. So we need to make sure we got people at the table, lighten up the lines, and being heard.
Yeah, there. All of these different. I was watching a thing. I think it was yesterday, and it was talking about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of regulations that pile on small business. And I know when my husband and I used to work in the equipment industry. I mean, I was the person in charge of making sure all the... I know this is going to scare some people, but I was the person who was in charge of, like, making sure we knew, like, all the rules that, you know, so we wouldn't get fined and stuff. And it was absolutely like a minefield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get a letter sometimes or not, or somebody would show up and inspect you for something, and then they'd say, well, you know, that you have to do this, this, and this. It's like, what? When did that happen?
Yeah. Well, and you know, there's so many laws and rules and regulations. They say that the average person commits 2 felonies after they've walked out the front door in the morning and they don't even know it. You know,
it's like, I won't even joke about that one. It's so just many, like, so much material available.
I mean, here you are trying to run a business, keep your head afloat in this economy, or you know, keep your business afloat in this economy, keep your employees employed, and you're supposed to know about every new regulation or rule or ridiculous thing that comes down the
pike. The thing I used to like is the posters. That was like my hot button, was these stupid posters. You're supposed to have these giant posters, you know, showing everybody how to do everything. No one ever read the posters.
No, of course not.
No one ever reads the stinking
poster. But you hang them up on your wall because someday somebody might sneak in and go in your bathroom and see if they're on the back of the door.
Remember way back, Al Gore was going to have them in his trunk? It was just no big deal. It was no big deal. Those posters were no big thing. He was going to drive around with them in his trunk. We used to joke about that all the time. Where's Al Gore when you need him? What's that?
I had a chance to speak recently with former Governor Pete Wilson, who I also worked for in a previous life, and actually really understood it and understands it when it came to his government working to help businesses get out of the hole. And I was explaining to him some of these crazy regulations that they've got going now that he wasn't even aware of. And he said, you could almost use this as material for a stand-up comic. Only the cruel irony is these are true.
Yeah.
You know, this could be part of an improv bit, but the sad part is these are actually true regulations. Unionizing babysitters and banning tanning salons from allowing persons under 18 to tan themselves. It's just crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, and how are they going to, I mean, honestly, when you get down to it, how do you monitor that?
And don't you think this is the danger of having a full-time legislature?
Yes, it's the danger of having a full-time legislature and also the abuse of not using honest science. I think, let's be at least genuine when we're talking about science. And I think that that's one other thing where government's gotten way out of control is they use junk science to legitimize things. I was up in Reading not too long ago with Rich, and we were listening. We were actually pleased to be joined by Senator LaMalfa and Assemblyman Nielsen. They wanted to sit down and listen to small business members and owners, and they just told them story after story about regulatory nightmares where actually state department heads or department representatives from various California departments will walk into small businesses up in Reading. One person said they actually took a chair and they started to walk out with the chair.
Yeah.
And the owner said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they said, well, we're taking your chair. We're not buying it. We're not borrowing it. We're taking your chair to go burn it to test its toxicity level.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's insane.
How great is that? There's another guy roaming around. He's with the Department of Industrial Relations. And he likes to go into small business and not tell them who he is. And like in one instance, they had a homeless guy sweeping their parking lot. It was a Mexican restaurant, little Mexican place. And they're a guy sweeping the parking lot. He's got a broom with, you know, three bristles on it. And he's, you know, out there, you know, kind of lackluster sweeping the parking lot. And this guy says, oh, do you work here? The guy goes, no, but they feed me periodically. And, you know, I really appreciate it. So I like to help them out. And the guy goes, so you're working here? And he goes, well, no, they feed me, so I like to help him out. I just took the broom off the back porch. So the guy goes in, and he says, hey, that guy out there, I want to see his employee information. And they're like, he's not our employee. He's a homeless guy. Well, why is he sweeping your parking lot? You fed him. You paid him in exchange for service. They're like, okay, look at the broom. That's like our throwaway broom. It was on the back porch. Oh, well, he's working for you, mm-hmm. and we don't see him on the rolls. You know, bing, big fine.
And you know what this, in the end, in the big picture, what this does is it stops good people from helping people in need.
Well, in that case, absolutely. There's another one where the wife gave change out of the cash register because she was waiting there with the kids. And the guy said, well, do you work here? And she said, well, no, but I'm the wife, and, you know, so I'm just helping out. Oh, so you work here. Big fine for that one, too. She wasn't listed on the employee rolls. So, I mean, it's your basic entrapment, obviously, but mm-hmm. He tends to target businesses where they don't speak very good English, and they're super scared of, official regulatory stuff, so they just quietly you know, pay the bill. Wow, I'm sorry. What country was this again?
Okay, for future reference, the correct response is, I'm an independent contractor.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and let me give you my physical address down by the river, and you can send me a 1099.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to come up with something for these poor people.
Yeah.
Senator LaMalfa said, and he was right during the meeting, he said, you know, to all the speakers, and your listeners should know, you know, that if there's problems like this, if they feel that they're being shaken down or that there's questioning something like this or just something outrageous, that the small business owner, the constituent, should contact their offices or contact us at NFIB, touch base with Rich, and we'll make sure that, you know, if something doesn't smell right in Denmark, we're going to make sure that, and they are going to make sure that you know, these government bureaucrats and agencies are held accountable.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I guess, where the electeds really come in handy. Hey, you know, we're super tardy for our little break here to thank our advertisers. So we'll be back with you in 2 minutes here on KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Oh, Bob, you keep hitting him out of the ballpark.
Elizabeth and I are here doing leg kicks here.
Yeah, if we could dance, we would be.
Actually, it was Richard doing the leg kicks, but his boss is on the phone,
like,
so we didn't want to tell
like
anybody.
We're like bobbleheads on the dashboard of your car. Anyway, welcome back to We the People Radio. We are talking to John Kabatek from the National Federation of Independent Business, and I think we want to get into healthcare. But before we do that, I was looking...
And why do we know that?
Because
he texted Richard.
He sent a text message
to
Rich.
Come on, John, you're driving the bus, man. And all you have to do is say you want to talk about it. We're so easy. We'll do it.
But you know what? Before we do that, I want to read a description of what the NFIB, who the NFIB actually represents. I mean, it's so clean and simple. If this doesn't bring it home, they serve your favorite tacos, make the best coffee in town, and have your dry cleaning done in a flash. You buy your insurance from them, homes, and other services. They are your neighborhood small business. They're your neighbors, and they are on every street in your community. So there you have it, folks. That's what the NFIB fights for.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, now healthcare.
Yes.
And so we have to, we can do this the whole second hour, actually, if you want.
Because like you said,
healthcare is the biggie.
Yeah, like you said to Rich in your private message to him.
That he read
to us. It is the elephant in the room. Go for it, John.
Well, since I heard Rich was on his BlackBerry, I just thought I'd just join in the fun, and give him fun content there.
We just like it. He's like our hostage in here, and we're just messing with him.
It's kind of like Tom Steuer and Becky Thatcher passing notes between class, right?
There you go.
Well, we, you know, NFIB really, again, what really defines us is that we are, again, representing only Main Street, only small businesses, which, by the way, happens to be 99.7% of the business community. And we ballot our members. And it's pretty linear in that regard as well. I mean, we ask our members what they believe in and what they want us to be out there fighting for. And they told us. And for the past 20 years in our surveys of our members, our small businesses nationally, small business owners have made it clear that healthcare reform is number one concern for them and a priority for them. I think it's a lot of folks on many times, you know, pundits and others seem to think the business community would just rather sweep healthcare under the carpet and forget about it. And frankly, small business owners, again, are paying about 18% more than larger businesses in health insurance premiums and their employees. And small businesses have seen their you know, premiums rise well over 109-110% over the past 10-12 years. So they want reform. They just don't believe the reform that we're seeing in Washington is the right reform. That's not the right prescription to fix a problem.
No, and it's got so many, I mean, so many pieces that are so messed up. But they're coming in little by little by little. What are we seeing in California for the most part? Like, what's the biggest healthcare impact of that yet?
Well, right now we're still seeing some of the pieces fall into place. I will tell you that, you know, we're kind of seeing these healthcare exchanges take shape a little bit in many of the states, including here, and I think we're still very curious and frankly concerned about how that will play out, and to make sure that it's done, that small businesses are not left on the, you know, short end of the stick here. But with this healthcare bill, there's no way small businesses really win. And what we also balloted our members and received from them was that they do not believe that this health care law is constitutional, that government shouldn't be forcing a small business owner or anyone to do anything like this, to purchase health insurance. So we ended up, I was telling you about in California how we were, how we've been the only, or NFIB is the only organization to oppose the tax increases in the recent budgets. Well, at the national level, surprisingly, out of about 7,000 business organizations nationally, only one organization that has challenged the constitutionality in the court is suing the federal government with the 26 other attorneys general, and that is NFIB. We are the only one that's nationally challenging the constitutionality of the federal health care law, along with those 26 other states. And we're proud of that. We'd like to see others join, but we frankly, we're speaking up because our members are just mad.
Right, right. And they have every right to be.
Exactly. Hey, tell me this. Can you let people know about how many small businesses or what kind of small businesses do offer health care? Do you guys have a way to measure that?
You know, it's hard to measure. I think we find that that's kind of varied. You know, I think what we have found from our members is, and from small business owners, is that they do believe that really, you know, having the ability to do it in their, in a way that they can have the freedom and flexibility to tailor a program that works best for them and their employees. I mean, we've seen various numbers of kind of where small business owners are, but I think in terms of the average small business owner, what they're telling us is, let me develop programs and health care plan that's going to be the best and have the greatest impact for me, my employee. Let's not be mandated. Let's not throw new taxes and new costs, and let's do it in a way that small businesses and their employees win versus government's kind of one-size-fits-all philosophy.
Sure. Yeah, because all of a sudden when they mandate that you have people there a certain number of hours, they mandate you pay a certain amount of stuff, how are you going to do that as a small business? You can't absorb that kind of cost.
That 10-9... Yeah, sorry.
Or it just gets passed on to the consumer. In the end, it always does.
But, I mean, if you're a restaurant, like let's just say you're a small restaurant in a town, restaurants don't run on a huge margin.
No.
So if you have some huge cost coming in, there are always the people who aren't going to follow the law. They're going to wait till they get caught. So, and that, which is, I mean, anymore, and, you know, I'm with them.
And that brings a good point. All the regulations, the rules, the laws, not just in business, but on every aspect of our lives, the government is going to make liars and cheats out of a lot of people, out of a lot of honest people.
Yeah,
as they try to stay afloat.
Yeah, they won't have any option. I don't see that healthcare thing working for anybody. People are so mad about that. But when we come back, we've got a 5-minute break here coming up at the top of the hour where you can hear some news. I'm sure it'll all be good news.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely grab your cup of coffee and tune into that.
Yeah, no kidding. When we come back, what can they look forward to, John? Give us a rundown.
Sounds great.
What are we going to hit when you return? More
well, healthcare? I think what... Yeah, healthcare, we'll certainly talk a little more about that. And just to answer your question, just 43% of small firms with that have fewer than 50 employees actually offer health insurance.
Okay. That's actually not bad.
No, not at all.
Yeah. All right, so if folks want to call in, do it at the top of the hour, 530-605-4567. You're listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back with you in just 5 minutes. We're here at the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You are
are tuning in to the second hour of We the People Radio. Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, our sound engineer, Bob Martin, playing some great tunes today. We are talking to John Kabachek from the National Federation of Independent Business, telling us all things that are squeezing out small business in the state of California and nationwide.
And we have Richard. Richard, what's your last name again?
Yeah.
Young?
Richard Young, who is the local rep for NFIB.
We have him hostage in here. He's here to field our texts. We have him on staff to a field text this morning.
Hey, and I think you folks all know
where to go.
Go to wethepeopleradio.us where you can...
He's not an employee.
He might be an employee. Oh, gosh, I hope they don't come to inspect us.
Where you can join the chat room, and we're streaming live. Give us a call, 530-605-4567.
Poor Elizabeth. She's trying to do actual business, and I'm messing around.
Yeah.
What is up with
that?
Just
one of those mornings.
I had really big bags under my eyes this morning, and one was really big on the left-hand side. It kind of looked like somebody punched me. Hey, somebody's calling you. So I don't know, maybe in there was like an extra silliness. I don't know, maybe I have like an extra silliness pouch this morning that's leaking into my brain. Oh, man, because this stuff is just so stupid. I guess it just irritates me so much that if I don't laugh about it, I think I'll just get bitter and hateful.
Yeah, and that's so true, because you could really get angry at all the crap that they bring down the
line.
We'd
love to hear from small business people out there, by the way, who have stories to tell and or are having experiences, are experiencing the joy of regulation regulation/ business ownership in California.
Mm-hmm.
And your call-in number is 605-4567. We don't do tons of call-ins because so many people are at church, but they do listen afterward on the archives, which is where the webpage comes in handy, and we thank Robert for maintaining that for us. So, Richard, here at the top of the hour, what's kind of the big heads up for folks going forward? Sorry, Richard's here. John's on the phone. Sorry, John. Richard told me to say that.
That's okay.
He's like, I'm never coming in here again.
All right. You're in the best. You're in even better hands with Rich out there.
Hey, if you can't laugh, what else can you do?
Oh, what? What the heck? So, seriously, with the legislature out of session here till the first of the year, there's a little bit of a reprieve except for all the stuff that's on the governor's desk. What are you guys expecting that'll go through? What do you think he'll not sign, and what do you think he will sign, and how will that affect folks?
Well, I think we are actually seeing, frankly, we are pleased that we saw a number of serious, significant tax increases and costs to small business really pretty much die on the vine this year, not making it out of committee. I mean, we saw efforts, just listening to these, efforts to raise the minimum wage 50 cents and then indexing it to inflation. We opposed that vigorously at NFIB, and it died on the vine in committee. We saw an effort to try and force small businesses to provide paid sick leave to all employees. We're finding 96% of small businesses are already providing some sort of a leave program with their employees.
So they didn't do that. They didn't do their homework.
Yeah, they sure didn't. And we opposed that vigorously. And that also died in the Assembly Appropriations Committee. And we worked very hard. The one issue I probably want to talk about that your voters and small business owners and your listeners should be very concerned about is what I call the encroaching union agenda. Whether people have family members or neighbors or friends who work as part of unions, the union leadership has gone astray to the point where they are really trying to make sure that small businesses and entrepreneurship are dying in our state quickly. And we work hard to oppose an effort that would have made it very easy to form unions in a very undemocratic process with using intimidation. We have fought it. It was called card check, which is basically, instead of a private ballot process, it would allow unions to bully fellow employees with a little 3x5 card to get a union formed in a small business. We fought that hard, very hard again. It would have been for just agriculture, but it would have spread out. You know how things are in California. It would have started with one industry, clearly would have spread to every. And we lit up the lines. We actually froze the servers for a while in the governor's office. And as a result, the governor, we saw the governor veto that. So But there is an encroaching union agenda. As I think they see their numbers waning, there is still an effort where they will not stop at anything to try and stop a business from being successful.
And that's what we hear all the time, and yet the mantra that comes out of the unions is that corporate America is what's, you know, ruining the world, corporate greed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, what do you say to that, honestly? I mean, you have to go to these things, you have to talk to these people. What do you say to that?
Well, what I try to explain to people is, look, you know, every whatever size of a business, small, medium, or large, every business at the beginning stages began as a small business, began as a little flickering light bulb of an idea of the California dream, of the American dream. And there continues to be a government attack on that dream, trying to puncture the ability for businesses to be successful. Government does not create success. Businesses and jobs and Main Street is what creates the ideas and actually helps our communities grow. And we just continuously see that under attack every day. That's what NFIB is about. That's what we applaud, you know, the Tea Party and what you're doing on your program, because I think that the more we're seeing more people more than ever saying enough is enough. Stop the madness. And the more we unite, the more we get heard. And I really do, you asked about what your listeners can look forward to. I think this is that perfect storm of redistricting reform, open primaries, and frankly just a very hostile and frustrated Main Street and community out there. This is the chance where we actually have a chance to make a difference in 2012. So that is a very good silver lining.
We'll talk about the open primary, because a lot of people aren't excited about open primaries. So you're saying that's a good thing. From your vantage point, what do you see?
What I'm saying is, you know, we NFIB, actually, we did not take a position on the open primary front. We, you know, asked folks if that was something we should get involved in, and I think what we heard was, you know, that really is one thing that we did not hear a lot of on either side. But what I will say is the open primaries, the redistricting reform, frankly, the chance for elected officials who have felt like, I think it's about 99.3% reelection rate amongst your average elected official, especially congressional, but also here in California. I think there's been such a reelection rate where they felt their seats have been safe that there's been no accountability. And so what I think we're seeing with all of these things is a chance for elected officials to frankly show their constituents that they deserve to be reelected or elected more than ever before. So this window, I think, is just a chance for voters to actually have more of a say and for elected officials to prove their mettle on the campaign trail.
Well, I think that somebody, you know, something better happen in California quickly. I mean, this next election, how do you see that? I mean, if we don't have a sweeping change next year, how do you see this, like AB 32, for instance? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think one song that you need to add to your repertoire and your collection is Billy Joel's I'm Moving Out.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
You know, maybe you can have Rich. You could ask Rich to spin the records there from time to time, but because I feel that's what's happening. I feel that we're going to see more and more businesses leave California. And, you know, we talk about Rick Perry and other states who are doing it right. Well, there is a culture in other states that is a culture of welcome. And how can we help you? In California, it continuously becomes a culture of gotcha. Just like that person who had the people taking the chair out of the business. It's a culture of gotcha. And unless we elect people who get it, who have been small business owners, unless NFIB's voice becomes louder, you know, we will not see businesses stay in California. And that's just the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California's just going to be a giant welfare state, period. Do you guys get people that call you for help? I mean, on specific issues, do you field those kind of calls too?
We do, absolutely. In fact, we make sure, you know, and again, we want to make sure that small businesses, that we're fighting for them at the state capital, the nation's capital. We provide, you know, a number of benefits to our members: workers' comp services, labor law and HR services, you know, shipping and delivery at reduced rates to help their bottom line. That helps them save some money. So we get calls, you know, those workplace posters we actually provide to our members for free. A lot of great benefits that Rich will tell you and tell them help save their bottom line. And then just navigating. You know, I think there's such a frustration with how do I navigate this giant behemoth and this anti-government behemoth. And NFIB gets involved and we make sure we're heard and we're helping that small business owner who's, frankly, should be focused on making their business run and creating jobs. And they don't have time to get away from what they're doing.
Well, anybody who's ever been either run a company or been in a, you know, a top managerial position for a small company knows that you don't have time to do all that stuff.
No.
That isn't one of the choices. I mean, your minimum of, you know, 10 hours a day just to do the regular stuff, to make sure that the products get out the door correctly and the billing is done correctly
and your customers are taken care of.
We're not even
getting
into all the tax laws and all the other stuff that's in there. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that goes on that changes. It's really very much of a moving target. California isn't helping.
The average small business owner ends up spending indirectly or directly about $400 per day in reporting requirements, having to comply with reporting and paperwork and all of that stuff that takes them away. Many of them being one man or one woman shops takes them away from what they need to do, which is, you know, be a business, feed the community, help support the health, you know, and create jobs. And one example back to healthcare, I will tell you that NFIB was very successful. We actually led the effort to repeal out of the Obamacare the 1099 reporting requirement. This was, for your listeners who don't know, there was something that was sneaked into Obamacare at the dead of night that would have required every business that had a transaction of over $600 to fill out a 1099 form for the business as well as to the IRS. And NFIB brought it to the attention of Congress, and they didn't even know about it. And Congressman Dan Lundgren here in California and otherwise, he championed the effort as a start. And as a result, we did get that through. We actually got that through Congress that realized it was outrageous. And we got it to the president, who did repeal that provision in the health care law. Now we're just working to get the other 99% of the health care law repealed.
Yeah, no kidding. Piece by piece.
But that was a big, big win for small business that we were very proud of, and that's where NFIB really looks at the fine print and says, you're not going to pull the wool over our eyes. Main Street was working too hard to create jobs for you to do that.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take 2 minutes and thank our advertisers. Even though at the beginning there's that disclaimer that says that they might not agree with us, we're going to thank them anyway. I mean,
I think they agree with us.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, no, they like us. What the heck? So we'll be back with John from NFIB and Richard that we have captive here in the studio, and all your friends here at We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
That justice is one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your boys. You got to draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
The overtime, is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, cause I'm moving out.
And those that are moving out are going to be the small businesses that employ and all the taxpayers. California will be a giant welfare state, and I think it's going to be the union guys paying for everybody else. They're going to start feeding on themselves. I just had to say that.
Wow. That was like a.
Seriously, who's going to pay for this state?
I had a flash of that. What was it? The soccer team in Alive.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Anyway, on that positive note, welcome back to We the People Radio. We're all about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. And we are talking to John Kabachek from National Federation of Independent Business. And Rich Young, who is the local rep, is sitting here in the studio with us. And before we get back into our discussion with John, at the break, Rich gave us a really simple and ludicrous example of regulations on the small business person. So, Rich, you want to share your story with the listeners?
Oh, sure. You had asked John if we champion special issues, certain issues with our members, and I had a member call earlier this week. She has a daycare here in town, just works out of her house, has a license for a certain number of children that can be present. Since she works out of her house, she had visitors that were just visiting with her at the daycare with children, and the inspector came two times now, and she had to make her visitors leave to show that she was still in compliance, but the inspector still cited her for having too many children at the house.
So her friends had to leave, take the kids with them, and she still got cited.
Still got cited, and she was at her wit's end, and she just happened to call me and wanted to know if we could do anything. I called John and his staff, and they were great. They were looking into it right now, so trying to help.
Awesome.
What kind of a fine is that?
Well, she could lose her license. She has to go to a hearing down in Chico and another week or two.
Oh, so who's going to take care of the kids that day?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's because your friends had the audacity to stop and visit.
Yeah, just wanted to come see her. Yeah.
That's sad.
So what do you do with your friends in a deal like that? What's the rule? What, do they have to stand out in the yard? Or
who knows? She has a binder, three-ring binder, that's literally 6 inches thick of rules and regulations for a simple daycare.
Wow. So just in case you needed a second reason why you're not running a daycare, that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as you just don't have any friends or family members ever come to your house.
Ever.
You'll be fine.
So John, do you have any idea what the fine is for that?
Well, I'm guessing I know who will be looking over the kids that day when she's off at the courts trying to deal with this, and that's the unionized babysitters, of course.
Oh, well, there you go.
Or the NFIB rep.
Yeah, Richard.
That's right, Rich. Rich is part-time babysitter, part-time DJ.
Are you union, Rich? Make sure you're union.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, so all those parents now, it's like, oh, by the way, I can't watch your kid that day, so they've all got to figure out how to jockey their work schedules. Wow. And they feel good about this, huh? They're proud of this rule? This is a good thing for everybody?
It's outrageous. It is outrageous. The regulatory process and the, like I said, the spirit of the American dream, the California dream, continues to be under attack. It's really what NFIB is fighting every day. And when we talk about other states, you know, one example, we talked to the guy who actually went to Texas, you know, there was a delegation that went to Texas to listen to businesses there. And one of the persons who joined that was the head of the Carl's Jr. franchise organization. And he basically said that in Texas, it takes about 3 to 5 weeks for the average, you know, franchise, you know, business franchise to open in Texas. In California, it takes anywhere between 18 months to 2 years. That's outrageous. And then on top of that, he ended up facing a $20 million frivolous lawsuit having to do with meal and rest period regulations. And we haven't even talked about, you know, just the lawsuit abuse in California that NFIB is fighting. But these are just classic examples of a culture of welcome versus a culture of gotcha.
And, you know, in addition to the onerous regulations, the paperwork, the fees, the fines, you know, the sheer volume of adherence to these regulations that these small business owners go through, it's so demoralizing. You know, they probably, most small business owners started their business out of a love for what they do and a desire to help the community or to serve the customers, and to be penalized and to be treated like a criminal from the onset, it's got to be so demoralizing and so discouraging.
It's pretty tough for folks, you know, who are just really, again, trying to keep their business moving and create jobs, and to have to then suddenly, and again, we found this with the frustration with our members with the health care law, with Obamacare, is that not only are they now, not only are they small business owners who are needing to deal with all the different elements of their day-to-day business and their employees, but now they must be up-to-the-minute experts on health care policy, AB 32 regulatory policy that is ever shifting, ever changing. So you're really in a catch-as-catch-can with your average mom and pop, who is the lifeblood of our economy. And that's just why we say gotcha, because that's exactly what they're doing here. And then the trial lawyers on top of it are the only winners when a lot of this comes out of it, because they're the only ones who end up winning, because they seize upon preying upon vulnerable small business owners.
Well, and this thing with the CARB, California Air Resources Board, regulatory stuff on, especially on trucks. I know we've gotten a bunch of emails from people that are like tow truck operators, and you know, maybe they run one or two trucks or whatever. It looks like it's going to crush them at this point if they don't do something to mitigate these rules.
Yes, the diesel regulations with the Air Board, again, that is one of the reasons that Rich and I often talk about, you know, really growing that voice, because while we have the AB 32 on one track, the diesel regs really have been delayed as a result of small business speaking up. The Air Board has continuously delayed these because they have cited both impact on jobs and the economy. So while they have not made the formal implementation decisions on the diesel and fleet regulations through the Air Board, that is something that could be looming, and it is absolutely where Rich and I tell people you've got to get involved and be heard, especially if you are affected by these types of things, because they continue to move the timeline, claiming job loss, economy impact, and we just need to make sure we're heard there. So there is some hope. I think it is just making sure that loud voice, like we said about card check, like we've seen with health care, we've seen with taxes. There are folks out there who are just, and we certainly see with the Tea Party, certainly see with NFIB, people are frustrated, and we are getting through. It's bit by bit, but we are getting through.
Well, and John, the thing that we find the most now in this environment is that more and more people are coming together, regardless of their party affiliation, because these regulations and rules are going to squeeze all of us. And we're finding that coalition is the key. We're building coalitions from all over the place, and it's going to be in the numbers.
Yes, NFIB was leading an effort over the past several years with legislation. We've attempted to try and get legislation passed that would actually hold agencies and departments accountable. So basically saying that if an agency or department puts forth a regulation, number one, they need to involve small business in the process. They can't just whimsically decide if they want to or not. They must involve small business in that process from the start. And number two, they must disclose the impact, the economic impact. We've fought this over the past several years, and they've usually died in committee. We've even gotten very moderate Democrats to champion this. And well, for whatever reason, whether it's window dressing or otherwise, we've had some, you know, legislative success in the legislature this year with a bill, Senate Bill 617, which would actually bring a level of accountability to agencies and departments. So while we have talked about a lot of frustration, finally there is at least one glimmer of hope that will hopefully bring agencies and departments into greater accountability and tell people what the costs are for the first time. And NFIB was leading that effort, and we're happy to see that at least headed towards the governor's desk, at the governor's desk, and hopefully he'll sign it.
Nice. And what kind of accountability would that bring?
Well, it would actually say, basically, it would require any state agency to prepare a regulatory impact analysis. They've never had to put together a regulatory and economic impact analysis of what that actual agency or department's regulatory cost would be. They've basically had bureaucrats who've said, you know, some have said, well, we might fill out the form, we might not. This would make every department and agency do that.
Nice.
So that all of us, your listeners and voters, actually see and know what the impact of those regulations are. And then also, it will make sure that small business, that NFIB and small business owners across the state are part of that development. When a regulation idea is even talked about from the start, small business is involved from the very start. You know, my mom had a saying, which is, it ain't worth doing if it ain't done right. And we even hear from some of our members, while they don't like regulations, they say, look, there's perhaps a place for some. Let's make sure that those regulations are done the right way and don't cost jobs. So we're excited about this SB 617. We hope the governor will sign it. And your listeners and Californians can at least see a silver lining on that in terms of holding government more accountable on a daily basis.
That's kind of awesome. It sure is.
Pretty cool.
A bright spot here at 9:30. We're going to take a take a quick break here, and we'll be back with John from NFIB here on We the People Radio. You are listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
Now give me what you promised me. Give it to you. Come on.
I got you.
We went all the way to Funky Town there.
No kidding. I gotcha. You're in California. We gotcha. We want everything you've got. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We are on our last half hour with John Kabachek from National Federation of Independent Business, representing all small business, everybody on every corner in every community, trying to make the world go round, provide good jobs, and be a friend.
Absolutely. And I've dealt with NFIB for a long time, actually. Small businesses that I worked for actually were always members, and a lady that was our executive director when I worked for Girl Scouts of the USA, she left and went to work for NFIB there in Sacramento. And Barbara was she was tough. She was fiscally very very tight. She was very spit spot, you know. And she went there, and I thought, oh, I wonder how that's going to work. I mean, she's always been the boss of everybody, and she went there to I don't know who you're. What is the top person at your place called, John? What are you called?
State director, yeah, the executive director.
The executive director. So she went to work for the executive director as like the executive assistant person or whatever. And she loved that guy. She had nothing but good things to say about the organization and the way they used everybody's money and, you know, how things were laid out. She was very, very... You know, so not everybody who runs an organization goes to an organization and finds it to be really good quality, but boy, she had nothing but good things to say about NFIB. So, anyway, people ask all the time. I got an email from somebody, I don't know, probably last week, I guess, unrelated to this program, but interesting coincidence, and they said, hey, have you ever heard of these guys? Somebody came to my business and wanted me to join. Are they any good?
Awesome.
It's like, do it now.
Hey, so John, you've got a legal department. You file a lot of lawsuits. Is that correct?
That is very true. It kind of provides two services. You know, small business owners have very limited income, if any income, so we actually do provide some direction to our members on that front from a legal and HR perspective. But then, yes, we've gotten pretty good lately at filing lawsuits and on behalf of small business to make sure that we're holding government accountable there. And I always say we're involved in the three C's, the capitals, the courts, and on the campaign trail. And so we do. We have a legal team that's very fierce when it comes to fighting for small business in Main Street.
And so are you a source for folks when they're looking at whether or not their person in their local area, their guy or gal running for assembly or senate or congress or whatever, when they want a read from you guys, do you make that public?
We do. We do a few things. First of all, we absolutely do endorse and support, and I'll get to that, certainly tell you about that, but we've had a pretty good track record lately in terms of supporting and getting elected small business friendly candidates. But we also do every year a state and a federal voting record. We let the small business owners out there. Rich will tell you he carries that everywhere he goes, and he shows, and our representatives show small business owners how their elected officials voted and where they were on the issues. And you can be sure Senator LaMalfa and Assemblyman Nielsen and Congressman Herger have been out there fighting for small business. But there's a lot of them out there who aren't, and their voters and their small businesses need to know that. So we do a state voting record and a federal voting record because we believe small business owners and Californians ought to know how their elected officials are voting.
Nice, because we are, this broadcasts on the web, so obviously we have people outside this area who listen to this program. So it isn't just Northern California, but for folks that are covered by people that actually do represent their interests, it's really going to be vitally important in this next election that we reach beyond our borders and we get the word out to folks in other places, because people sometimes don't know. I mean, they're voting for someone that sounds like this guy down by my mom's house. It turns out he's one of the 77 members of Congress who's part of the Democratic Socialist Party. My mother would have a cow if she knew that. So, therefore, she needs to know that.
If I hear one more elected official or candidate, but really the elected officials out there, pat a small business owner on the back, auto shop owner or a dry cleaner, and pat them on the back and say, you're the backbone of the economy. You're the engine that keeps things going, only to then go into a committee hearing or on the congressional floor, on the Senate floor, and vote directly up in the opposite direction of job creation and small business. And I'll scream. So this is a chance where I think the Tea Party, where NFIB, where we're making sure people are holding folks accountable, and we're getting people who will walk the talk elected to those offices. And I think this window is a pretty cool one. I think it is a very opportune one. But that voting record says, look, you've either walked the talk or you haven't. And then NFIB getting involved in the races is something where we're making a difference. And we've actually saw it last November. We're starting to see some serious change in the state and federal level in terms of who's getting elected and who we're supporting and getting into office.
Mm-hmm. And I think, in general, we see that, California, what was it, the tsunami that swept the country, died before it got to California. But really, there are people in these incredibly liberal places that own businesses. Are you seeing any of those folks that are saying, hey, I'm for all this, clean air, water, craziness, over-the-top regulation, but by the way, it's crushing me? Are you seeing any defectors or meeting any defectors?
Well, I think we are. I think we absolutely are. Well, I will tell you, though, what we're seeing more than that is we're seeing small business people get elected to office. And I will tell you, NFIB has played a huge role. Let me give you, it's very easy, especially on a Sunday morning for folks getting their coffee, kind of sitting there trying to feel pretty fired up about how things are in California. But just look at last November. 30 of the 36 legislative candidates, small business candidates that NFIB supported for the state legislature, won office. 19 of the 22 candidates for Congress, just in California alone, won. And when the Congress took their oath last November, 112th Congress took their oath last November in Washington, 25 people were able to raise their hand and say that they were NFIB members. So we're doing something. I think you're seeing, between what you guys are doing with your listeners, with the Tea Party, and certainly with NFIB, small business is being heard, and we're actually getting people in who get it. We just need to do more of that.
Sure. We need to help them reach out because, frankly, the people that are running small business are buried. I mean, they're running full tilt, and it's a little bit like the folks in their late 20s, early 30s, those people with little kids, they're buried too. So there's a segment of the population that can get out there and get the word out and spend the time on the computer to email this information out, to make the phone calls and things that we're going to need to do for 2012.
Well, and just on that vein, this show alone, you can go to our webpage and very easily email this segment out to anybody that you know that has a small business and they're trying to keep their head above water and they don't know where to go for help. It's as easy as sending a link.
Absolutely, and if people don't have the technology, Robert actually makes it so that they can order a CD of this, so you could actually hand someone a CD, they could listen. But it's vitally important, I think. A lot of times people look at who's not involved. I don't know about you guys, John, but you know, we don't focus on who's not involved. We look at who is involved and who's willing to put in the time. And this is not necessarily a game for the young. This is a game for the people that are willing to get in and play. Yeah, make the calls and reach out, get the information. But you don't have to be a young person. We meet people all the time. You know, I'm 90 years old and I'm fired up about this. It's like, God love you.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I think it is important for your listeners and for everybody to know it really doesn't take a lot, I mean, for everybody to get involved. I think people immediately think there's a big commitment. First of all, you know, as Rich will tell you, we want to make sure people are part of the organization, part of NFIB, and so we want to make sure they can help with what they can invest to be part of our voice and our movement. But think about it. There are 3.6 million small businesses in California. We're the largest with 20,000, but the larger our voice becomes, and think about this, if every small business owner gave $5, $10 to a cause to help us become a political powerhouse, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Because now we can actually really hold these folks accountable, and we're growing that. But I think now we heard from one person is, not too long ago, was small businesses are respected and liked, but you're not feared. And I think it's important to have a little bit of that effectiveness and in that way when we're wielding the influence. And I think that small business owners need to know you don't need to give much. Just be involved, be heard, and you're going to make that difference in the mass.
And, you know, quite honestly, when the Tea Party movement first began, I believe that we were respected and liked. But it's pretty clear now by the response from Washington that we're feared as well.
Well,
no doubt.
And that's what needs to happen with small business. They need to get their weight back.
And you guys have been around a long time. I mean, you guys have the track record and the history for people to feel solid about it. And I remember at the equipment place where we were, I remember years when we were just flat broke, and yet we kept our membership with NFIB because it was not a break-the-bank deal. So that's important to know, too.
And we're seeing those inroads now. You know, I think, you know, NFIB has done that. I mean, we've been effective in, we held back Hillary Care years ago in 1993, 1994. We're stopping the craziness of Obamacare. We've stopped taxes from being in two budgets here in California. We've stopped card check. And we're getting small business elected. As Rich will tell you, we're doing it. We just need to be that much more effective. And the bigger our voice, the more powerful we'll be.
Yeah, it's absolutely a numbers game. Rich can't weigh in anymore, by the way, because he left for church.
he said his wife was prettier than you are, so he had to leave. He had to go get her.
So he's no longer our in-studio captive. Hey, we're going to take a break here for a couple of minutes, our last break, and we're going to come back with John. And, hey, John, check your calendar and see when you can come up to Reading. We're looking for Mondays, potentially in, like, October-ish.
Love it.
And so we'll make a plan there. We don't have to do it on the air, but definitely check your calendar, and we'll get back.
And it's nice because on a slow night, we get 200 people.
Yeah, on a bad night. So we'd be able to get that out to all the business owners and stuff. You guys can bring materials, and that'd be very helpful. We would love that. Getting a lot of, on the chat room, we have a lot of people asking if you're going to be coming up. So wanted to make sure and let folks know we are definitely doing that. We'll be back in 2 minutes here. I'm sorry, say that again.
No, I said I'm already putting gas in the car. I'll be up soon enough. I look forward to it.
Love somebody who plans ahead. That's outstanding. We'll even feed you. We'll be back in a couple of minutes here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Great guy, not much longer would you be mine. Ooh, I made it to the great guy, and I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah.
Grassroots and grapevines. That's how they built great things.
Yeah, we're not old enough to be the raisins yet, but hey, give us time.
So we are in our last 10 minutes of We the People Radio with John Kavacek from National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB.
John?
I appreciate being with you. This has been such a fun couple of hours, and I appreciate what you guys are doing out there, and you're making sure the voice is being heard because people are saying enough is enough, and just appreciate the time with you today. This has been a lot of fun.
I'm so glad.
It's always fun.
Yeah. What else are you going to do on a Sunday morning?
People are always like, well, 2 hours, that's a really long time. It's like, oh, it'll just roll by. It's pretty quick. It's nice not to be under a ton of pressure, like hurry up and deliver your message and be done, you know?
That's right.
It's not very fun. All right, so what's something maybe that we haven't hit that you would like people to know about or like them to research or something you can recommend that gives them some marching orders here?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I think it is so important to your listeners to let them know that that it really, as I said on the previous segment, that it really doesn't take a lot for everybody to get involved. And you know, everybody thinks, oh, is it going to be a lot of time or money or effort? I think if everybody knows that if they just give a little bit of where they have the passion and where they are frustrated or what they are able to do in their special way, whether it's a little time, volunteering, or if it's a little bit of, you know, if they've got a few bucks in their pocket, they want to help on this or that cause, but that, to help small business and to help Main Street get going, being involved with NFIB is an easy way to get a lot of people involved, and we're doing that. So I would just encourage your members to be involved, to talk to Rich Young, to I think the more we can be collaborating on things with, you know, you all with We the People and other efforts there, we have a lot of like minds that are very frustrated and are saying enough is enough. We just need to join forces.
Yeah, we couldn't agree with that more, John. In fact, that's pretty much how this movement has been built.
And, you know, it's kind of nice. The station owner here came to us here almost a year ago and asked, you know, hey, I want to do a program called We the People, and would you guys do it and make it about topics that just, you know, regular people care about? You know, nothing fancy. Obviously, we don't, you know, we don't pretend to be, you know, radio professionals. We're just regular people, and want to give voice to folks out there that have resources and tools for all of us that really have been the silent majority. I mean, for a lot of years, we've been in the shadows.
Yeah, you know, working hard, raising our families, going to church, volunteering in our communities, doing all the right things.
But it's not enough anymore. We really do have to do more, and no matter how busy people are, they can always do just a little bit of stuff, even late at night, you know. There's a ton of work that can be done on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
a ton of work. John, would you do us a favor and make sure that you have our program on your email list, or is there a way we can do that? Is there a way we can sign up for updates from you guys?
Oh, most certainly. We will see to it that that you guys are getting a regular stream of information, and we'll love to have that two ways, because there's a lot of good stuff you're all doing as well that we want to be sure we're letting people know about.
You got it.
We want to be sure and let people know here also that the partnership, you know, this whole thing is partnership. We've always seen our Tea Party groups in Northern California here as partners. If we didn't want to have to be the hub of everything, but if we could connect great ideas and great people that maybe didn't have a lot of support, mm-hmm. and a lot of help, this is a great way to bring people together and to get them working. So if you have programming ideas for us, we would really like those. If you have people that we need to hear from in industry, you talk to so many different people in business, there are probably things that people would never hear about. Those are the kinds of programs that we do. So you can always email us. You can email me program stuff at Erin, E-R-I-N, at wethepeopleradio.us. And anybody who would like to see this kind of programming continue, because it is just done on, you know, generous donations from our membership. We don't get paid or anything for this. Everybody's going, yeah, well, we figured you were working for free.
Yeah, yeah.
but that goes to Elizabeth at wethepeopleradio.us. And
you know, we'd be happy for any and all input from people for programs, for ideas that need to get out, for causes that need to be promoted. Mm-hmm. And any of those ideas can be sent to us, and we can get them on our webpage and get them out to a lot of people.
Yeah, because we're really not about just reiterating everything everybody already knows. We are all about bringing to the forefront things that people will never hear about through their mainstream media.
Or they'll only hear a two-minute soundbite. Like, how many two-minute interviews have you done? Like a million? John?
Me?
Did we kill you out there?
I've done a few brief ones, but I really enjoy these kinds of back and forth, because it is a great chance, and I really enjoy the dialogue. But, I will tell you one thing I was just thinking about before you wrap up, I know, is the other thing I would ask your listeners and ask Californians to do is to put a human face on their problem. It's very easy, even with great elected officials. Like I said, you've got great people up there in Congressman Herger, Senator LaMalfa, Assemblyman Nielsen. They get it. They've actually understand small business because they've been there. But even they need to hear from folks in terms of the actual examples, the stories, the problems, the regulatory problem. Not just the regulations are a problem, but that this particular labor regulation or this air quality regulation is hurting me, and here's how much it's costing me. So I would just encourage your listeners to make sure that they share, even certainly with their elected officials, how they are hurting them and specifically what it is, because that's going to help them, the elected officials here, really help fight for them.
That's a very true statement, and all those offices will take calls from people on things that are happening. We get calls all the time at the LaMalfa offices about regulations, things that are happening, things as simple as, I live next to somebody who's growing 9 million tons of pot, and my granddaughter, is really allergic, and now she can't play outside. I mean, we get lots of calls like that. There isn't necessarily something we can do right now, but those are great things to have in the hopper, because when that type of legislation comes up again, it's great to go forward and say, hey, look, we get a zillion calls. We got a call from this person, and you guys probably utilize that too a lot in your lobbying efforts.
We sure do, and we're really growing in about 12 different regions, including the Shasta-Redding area, great small business and FIB networks. And we started this with this meeting about a month ago, and Rich Young is the best point of contact, but we're making sure that we're creating a great hub and a great voice for small business in your neck of the woods and throughout the state. So the more folks can let us know, let their elected officials know, we want to make sure those problems are addressed if it's very specific details so that they can be fixed.
And John, as things come up and we go forward into the future, I'm sure that we'll have you on again, because things are only going to heat up. You think?
Oh, no doubt.
We would very much like to have we'd love to get calls, a call from you or an email from you if there's something that our listeners need to know, too. We love giving out updates from reliable sources, especially reliable sources that they've, quote unquote, met on the air. So don't be a stranger.
I appreciate that, and likewise, we will make sure that we're talking and communicating quite a bit, and we still have a few more weeks before the governor signs or vetoes a lot of this stuff that's on his desk now, and we'll certainly keep you apprised and make sure we bring small business into the discussion, if you're interested, to make sure you understand that along the way. It's still a crazy time.
Oh, yeah, we're super interested. You can call us any Sunday morning. You can email us during the week.
Absolutely.
We'd be happy to hear from you. All right, well, we're going to call it a wrap today and give it over to the next program.
Thank you, John,
for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Get out there and promote NFIB, folks. That's the only way to save small business in California. All right. See you next week on We the People Radio with Dr. Menke. We're going to be talking about the coho salmon and its lack of endangeredness here on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
I don't need you to worry for me, because I'm all